Welcome to the Over the Counter podcast, where we share stories about local shop owners and their businesses. We believe that they are important anchors in our neighbourhoods and irreplaceable for communities. But oftentimes, we don't know much about the face behind the counter that we see every day. Here we would like to get to know them and their story better, what their town means to them and how they are dealing with the difficulty of the current situation. Each week we will be virtually travelling to different towns in the world with the help of our local reporters. This week's destination is London, the bustling capital of the UK, loved by tourists and locals alike for its wealth of districts that each have their own unique identity. You'll probably never get bored living there, and if you do, a quick underground ride will take you to another area waiting to be discovered. Today's guest is Sam, the founder of Gemini Chocolate, who creates organic vegan chocolate made from Peruvian cacao beans and is handmade by himself in his workshop in Dulwich. As a business which doesn't have its own shop yet, it sells at different markets around London and online. Sam tells us about his journey from musician to chocolate maker, how he finds inspiration for new flavors, and how being at a market influences your relationship with customers and other fellow sellers. Enjoy! Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for doing this. So where are you right now?
I'm at home at the moment.
Okay.
In London.
So yeah. I was wondering with the markets. I think that's already, I'm starting right in just because I'm really curious about this. So now that you say you're back in London and you're basically selling your chocolates on the market, are the markets back on now?
They are back on, yeah. I mean, they're not quite the same as they were, but they are back on. Obviously, there's lots of restrictions in place and stuff like that, but they're all going, And so we are doing a few, not as many as before, but yeah, they are going ahead.
Oh, that's really good to hear. So how was this whole COVID situation then for you guys?
I mean, it wasn't too bad for us because, I mean, obviously the markets were completely wiped out for us for lockdown. But it wasn't so bad because online sales did increase quite significantly. So that kind of made up for the lack of markets. And so I would say, kind of relatively speaking, we were pretty lucky, I would say.
Oh, that's really good to hear. That's great. So did you have this online market or online presence already before? Or was that accelerating everything?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a website. And so, we sell online from our website. And so that has actually increased, to be honest. Over lockdown, that did kind of like grow quite significantly, especially at first. So that was quite nice to see. So I think the fact that we've got an online kind of site, that kind of has really helped us over this time. Definitely.
Amazing. Did you use it a lot before as well, or it was more markets?
No, I mean, it's always been online. Like from the very beginning, it was online. But it's grown. I think it's kind of taught me that, now's the time to really focus on that area because it's more lucrative than markets, and it's probably a lot easier to grow the business that way. So.
Yeah. No, I suppose that's true. I think I've spoken to a lot of businesses now and everyone said, it's so important to grow your online sort of presence now. So that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, their name, definitely,
So were you in London the whole of lockdown then? Or?
I actually went back to Yorkshire over lockdown.
Ah, okay, that's where you're from.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm from originally. And I just thought, because where I produce chocolate, that was shut down and everything, so I couldn't really use my facility. So I just thought, let's get out of London, go back to the Yorkshire countryside, and just kind of wait it out. So that's basically what I did.
That's really nice. So now that I know you're from Yorkshire, how come you moved to London?
You know Ben, obviously, but Wilma, Ben, both my brothers. They were getting very, very involved in Gemini Chocolate. And I just thought, getting closer to them and working with them more closely would work really well. So, I just thought, it's quite a good question, really, but I just found a great place in London. Ben was just like around the corner, and I just thought, let's just see what happens and go for it. And it's been a good move.
That's really nice. So can you tell me a little bit more about the beginning of Gemini Chocolate? And I suppose I did a little bit of research. I suppose you kind of started it, but then your brothers are also.
I mean, so my brothers are both, well, Ben's involved. I mean, Will used to be involved, but Ben is now very much involved. He helps out a lot. So, I mean, basically started, I think, when I started learning about nutrition. And, you know, that was a big turning point for me. And I kind of learned about the cacao bean from which all chocolate is made. And, you know, I learned about how healthy it is. It's incredibly nutritious. And I just thought, you know, if the cacao bean is so healthy, then why is chocolate unhealthy? And so I kind of thought, right, let's try and create healthy chocolate. And that's kind of how it's all born, really.
Ah, so how come you came into nutrition?
It was, I mean, I think Ben actually gave me a book on nutrition, which I read and I was fascinated by. And that kind of led me on a journey. I kind of did the paleo diet and all those kind of things. And that's how it all kind of got started. Mm. And that led to various things, really. And that, yeah, sort of changed my life. So
I see. Yeah. So are you a vegan yourself then?
I get that asked quite a lot, but no, I'm not a vegan, no. No, I mean, yeah. I very much believe in reducing kind of overuse of animal products very strongly, but don't necessarily think you have to be vegan to do that. And so, yeah, I'm not a vegan, but I try and be a vegan as much as possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not restricted by that then.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think that's kind of the first question that popped into my head when I heard that you guys are doing vegan chocolate. And also, I think you guys started, what, like 2 years ago or something? Three now? Is that correct?
I mean, I would say it kind of started officially about 2 years ago. But it's been kind of like going along for about 5 years altogether. I mean, I started kind of like playing around with Gemma Chocolate about 5 years ago. But only became a business really about 2 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I've been 5 years ago is quite early then in terms of this sort of lifestyle of veganism becoming really popular and a lot of people now sort of buying.
It definitely began before the vegan craze became popular, yeah. But from the very beginning I thought it had to be vegan because I just felt like, you know, because I don't think chocolate needs dairy. I think, you know, I wanted the cacao bean to really be the star of the show and a little bit, but also for ethical reasons, really, as well. Yeah.
No, of course, that makes sense. So where are you sourcing your cacao beans from?
At the moment, they all come from Peru. They're Criollo cacao beans, and they're the best I could find. You know, I tried every single bean that I could get my hands on. And these were by far the best. They're organic Peruvian Criollo cacao beans. And they're really nice.
Did you also travel to Peru? Did you do a little bean hunt?
I would love to say that I did do that, but no, I haven't. I mean, that is something I would absolutely love to do in the near future. And it is something I aspire to do, but I haven't done that yet, no.
So when you started the business, you basically didn't know anything about chocolate making. Is that correct?
I literally no idea.
Did you just teach yourself everything and started
I'm completely self-taught. I was a musician before this. And I just started making it in the kitchen for the fun of it one day. And at first it was terrible. Have to say, but it slowly got better and better, and
amazing.
So, yeah, completely self-taught, read books. I mean, it kind of grew mostly through trial and error, really, just lots of experimentation, and just slowly grew from there.
Great. So, why chocolate? Why not anything else?
It's just I don't know. I've always been very much into food, and chocolate just kind of just really drew me in. Like the cacao bean is so fascinating, so many ways, and I just think chocolate is so versatile. You can do so many different things with it. You can be very creative, and it's just the scope of chocolate is endless. And I just think it's a fascinating, complex food. which I think lots of people don't really realise, because it may people associate chocolate with Cadbury's and dairy milk and things like that, but chocolate, dark chocolate especially, can be so complex and you know, has endless scope for variety and interest. So,
It's a very fun thing to play with, since you basically need a base and then you can add flavors. You can challenge the depth, probably. You guys do different flavors too, I heard.
Lots of different flavors.
So what's your fave?
I would say our best sellers are orange and tamarind and fig and jasmine.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, my favorite is probably fig and jasmine, actually. Fig and jasmine? Yeah, probably fig and jasmine, yeah.
So who comes up with the flavors? Or how do you get there?
I come up with them, but it's all just through inspiration. I mean, fig and jasmine actually was inspired by Spain, actually. I was walking through the countryside of Spain, and I just saw figs and jasmines growing together, and I thought, fig and jasmine, that's got to work. And so that's how I was inspired.
That's really nice. It's a good way of going about it, just taking nature, seeing what it puts together.
I think, people often say what grows together goes together. So that's how that one was born. It's a good one, I think. It's different, but yeah, I really like it. It's actually becoming our bestseller bar, actually. So, it's going.
Do you have any new flavors coming up soon?
We do have. I mean, we just brought out a bar called Fruits of the Forest, which is elderflower and raspberry, which is really.
Ooh,
really
nice. That's nice.
And that's actually going to kind of like evolve into, because we want it to be like a seasonal bar, so that's going to kind of evolve into probably blackberry and something else, but still working on that.
Did you have any flavor that miserably failed?
There must have been loads. I mean, it's been lots of miserable failures. I'm not sure what was so bad. I don't know. It's been no kind of particular flavor. It's just been lots of kind of like experiments that just have not worked at all, especially in the early days. You should use all sorts of weird ingredients.
I can imagine. But it sounds so fun. I mean, like putting things together sounds pretty great.
I think, to be honest, actually, like creating new flavor combinations, that's probably what I actually enjoy most about it. So, orange and tamarind, Ben actually came up with that one, annoyingly.
So how does it work with you guys as brothers? So you're kind of equally selling at the markets, or do you distribute the roles within the business?
Ben is basically doing all the markets at the moment. So Ben's really good on the market stores. He talks to customers really well. He covers all of that. He helps with packaging, and he delivers lots of the wholesale orders to London shops and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he basically just helps out where he can, and he has been a big help.
That's amazing. Yeah. So when you are talking about the markets, was that always your first ambition to basically sell the product at markets rather than sort of going to supermarkets and trying to distribute it there?
Yeah, I mean supermarkets don't really massively appeal to me, but I think markets were just a great kind of learning experience, because you get direct feedback from customers. It's very connective, and so really it was just a place to start, but mm-hmm. It's quite limited though. There's only so much you can do, but the supermarkets isn't really what I aspire to. I aspire to kind of sell direct to customers as much as I can through online sales, and maybe even a shop one day. Whether that be appropriate in this climate, I don't know. But mostly at the moment, I'm focused on online sales and trying to grow that business.
When you sell at markets, do you feel the relationship that you have with customers, and also the possibility that you can actively speak to them or share your story. Is that a big selling part for you?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just very connective. I think, you know, they get to learn about us, we can learn about them. And, you know, I think a lot of our customers, a lot of our hardcore customers who are always buying from us, they are market customers as well. So, you know, I think it's a great way to connect and to learn. And hearing their feedback and is very valuable, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, you take their feedback into account oftentimes.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, so when you sell at different markets, you must see so many different people all the time. And also this podcast is a lot about sort of how shop owners relate to their neighborhoods or their surroundings, yeah, and people that they sort of talk to. So for me, it was really interesting hearing about a market store, because it basically means that you have so many different communities and neighborhoods that you are catering to. And then you have people just visiting the markets, which is then again a completely different customer base. But you feel like you have a connection with the people who probably also work at the markets or come by. How would you say is that different than having a shop that doesn't move?
Well, it gives us a lot more flexibility. You know, it's not as permanent. And I think, you know, you really do get to talk to customers. I mean, you do in a shop as well, but I just think it's very connective. And, you know, we get to kind of like go all over London. And so, you know, before, not so much now, but before lockdown, we had markets all over London. And so you get to connect with every kind of different area. And so it's very flexible. And I just think it's a very, it can be so many different things. And you know, the atmosphere of the market is great. And it's a good thing to be a part of.
That sounds fun. Yeah, it always seems like such a nice family in a bit, you know, or everyone who's at the market, everyone's kind of helping each other out. That's really nice.
I think that's true. Yeah, it's definitely a strong sense of community at every single market. I think that's a definitely really strong point about markets. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite market?
I do actually. Yeah,
you do.
I mean, Herne Hill, a long time ago. Yeah, we're not actually doing it at the moment because they don't have room, unfortunately. But Herne Hill is by far my favorite market.
Oh, it's so beautiful there. Yeah,
it's really beautiful. Yeah.
That's really fun. So, how does it work at markets actually? Do you have to apply for each coming week, or do you book a long-term slot?
I mean, it varies from market to market. I mean, mostly they do like people to commit to a certain period of time, but yeah, I mean, you can mostly just book on a weekly basis. So yeah, it's pretty flexible, which is another really good thing about them. So you don't have to really commit to anything really.
So anyone can open up their store?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, anyone can have a store, yeah. Open a store to sell anything really. I mean, you need like insurance and all those kind of things, but it's pretty
easy. Pretty amazing.
I mean,
that's really great.
It's easy, but lots of the good ones are pretty full at the moment, so that's
like, no, of course
it's quite hard to get into them, but yeah,
that makes sense.
Very easy to do.
That's really great for people who are kind of starting up, and I suppose that really helped you.
they are fun. They're definitely good fun. Yeah.
Where does the name Gemini Chocolate come from?
I mean, I'm sure lots of people will say that coming up with a business name is impossible. You know, every single name we came up with, someone else had come up with it before us. So
Everything has already been done.
Yeah. It was basically my brother. He just rang me one day and just said, "What about Gemini Chocolate?" And for some reason, when he said that, I was just like, "Yeah, that sounds great." And I'd love to have a better story, but I mean, also me and Will are Geminis as well.
Ah.
So, yeah, but basically Will just said Gemini Chocolate, and I thought it sounded really, really good. And then that's the main reason.
Yeah. Ah, I see. I think one other question I would have is, hand to heart, is it That you never buy chocolate from the supermarket, ever?
I mean, I used to buy green and blacks from the supermarket, but yeah, and it's good chocolate. I've got no problem with that. But yeah, I mean, nowadays I've kind of grown from that, and I buy different chocolate. But yeah, I think green and blacks. I think of all the supermarket brands, that's the one kind of company that I think are pretty good.
Okay, that's good to hear. I'm always interested in when people sell products that they really stand for, whether they never go back to sort of buying the reason why they started somewhere else, because they wanted to change something or weren't so happy with the current situation.
I probably wouldn't buy green and blacks now, but I did used to buy green and blacks a lot.
Yeah, fair enough. So do you feel like when you were selling in Yorkshire versus London, do people appreciate your product differently?
Yeah, I think actually one reason why I did kind of move to London is because I do feel like people in Yorkshire didn't, it might be a bit unfair to say, but you know, they didn't understand it quite as much. I mean, they did like it, and we did very well in Yorkshire. But I think whole kind of like vegan organic movement hadn't quite taken off as much in Yorkshire at the time. I think it probably is different now, but you know, back then, you know, I feel like people in London were slightly more open to what I was trying to do. But having said that though, you know, we did do well in Yorkshire. We sold in many markets in Yorkshire, and people did really love it. And I think the good thing about being in Yorkshire is that I felt like people were quite new to the whole vegan organic chocolate scene, and so it was quite nice to introduce them to that. But generally speaking, I'd say people in London were more open to what I was trying to do. Yeah.
Do you feel like you would ever go back to Yorkshire?
I'm definitely not ruling it out. Definitely not ruling it out. I mean, at the moment, London is great, and I've found a really great place in West Dulwich where I make it.
But, amazing.
Yeah, but I think it wouldn't surprise me if one day I do go back to Yorkshire, but we'll see how things go.
That's exciting. So do you have a workshop where you produce your chocolate, or like a factory?
Yeah. We've got like a unit in a business centre in West Dulwich. Cool.
So is it just you making it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You must make a lot of chocolate alone.
I make a lot of chocolate, yeah. It's not so bad, really. Not so bad.
Oh, it's not the worst thing to work with, that's for sure.
No. It could be worse.
That's really lucky that you found this. And then from there, you just distribute it to the market and then take it.
Yeah. So it's all made there. And then, it all goes out from there to the markets and to wholesale shops and online as well.
You do sell in shops?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we obviously don't have a shop, but we do sell to quite a few shops, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, we do sell to quite a few shops.
That's nice. Do you choose them?
We have done sort of, but mostly shops actually approach us. They get in touch saying, oh, we've heard about your chocolate and we'd love to sell it. So, I mean, that's not actually an area of the business that I'm looking to grow. So really, yeah, it's mostly based upon shops approaching us. And obviously when they do, you know, we're very open to it.
That's a really great compliment too. It's really nice.
No, it's nice to hear.
So, sorry, I'm jumping a little bit, but I remember you said that you were a musician before.
Yeah.
Do you study music then?
Yeah. No, I went to university to do music. I did a master's degree in music as well. As a professional musician, as a guitarist for many years.
Oh, wow.
And so that was my passion. It still sort of is, but so that's what I was doing before Gemini Chocolate. But yeah, and I think, yeah, I mean, it was quite, whilst I was doing it was fun, but it did feel quite limited, and I was always kind of open to doing new things. And for some reason, Gemini Chocolate sort of happened from that.
Do you feel your background in music because I mean, music is extremely creative. Is that something that, are there a few traits that come from your music background that you see in your chocolate making? That's a really weird sentence, but yes, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I mean, like as a musician, I also kind of like wrote songs, and I think the way how I now kind of like produce, come up with chocolate flavor pairings is similar. And so I think it's the inspiration is very similar. So when I was inspired to write a song, it feels very similar to when I was inspired to create a chocolate bar. And so I think that kind of that creative spark is a very similar between the two, definitely.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's a, now that you say that, it makes a lot of sense. And also, I mean, I'm just thinking this out loud, but when you're playing music, it is also something that you use your hands for. You know, it's very creative and hands-on. And so if your hands work together with your heart and your head, so all of that, I suppose, also comes together when you're making chocolate.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, I haven't thought of that, but yeah, that's true, actually. It's true.
Some sort of different instrument, even.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a tool.
No, I think, yeah, I can definitely see how that's the case, yeah.
Maybe one day you can make a song for Gemini Chocolate, like a little ringtone.
Yeah, well... That's I might try that. I mean, I'm not sure how it'll come out, but I'll give that a go.
Please do. Yeah, I mean, do you still do music then?
I mean before lockdown I was still performing music quite a lot, actually, at open mics and stuff like that. Obviously that's all gone now. Right. I still play guitar all the time. It's still my total passion, really, but so is Gemini Chocolate. I've got them both now, so yeah.
Well, you're really lucky that you can earn money and do both, you know, with both the things that you love. That's really fortunate.
It is definitely.
So I think my final question would be what your core values are in terms of business and in life. Probably.
Core values. I mean, I think to inspire and be inspired, it's definitely something that appeals to me a lot, and I think about. Connection is definitely something that I kind of like incorporate into everything I do. Definitely through Gemini Chocolate, and probably freedom as well. You know, I value freedom a lot, and it's partly why I want to kind of be a business owner, because it gives me freedom. And so, I'd say those three are definitely up there amongst many, many other things as well. But
amazing. Yeah. Well, they're very good values to live by, and it seems like you're really portraying them in the way that you handle your business. But this was really great.
It's been good. Yeah,
and
cool.
I hope you have a lovely Sunday.
Yeah, you too.
Good luck with everything.
Great. Yeah, no, well, thanks for this. It's been good fun. So, see you later. Bye.
Bye.